Receiver Chris Godwin by the Ravens. Roquan Smith, the tackle, may fall under the league's recent banishment of hip drop tackles. Godwin's expected to miss the rest of the season. Frozen Frenzy is tonight in the NHL with all 32 teams in action across 16 games.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. Sales of ag tractors dropped 19% in September compared to September of last year. New data from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers says combine sales also fell during the month, dropping 41%. The 100-plus horsepower tractor segment fell the most from last year, dropping almost 27%. Four-wheel drive tractors were the segment's only gain, up 1.7% year-to-date. AEM Senior Vice President Kurt Blade says these declines point to the overall softness in the ag economy. The National 4-H program launched Beyond Ready, a nationwide initiative designed to empower 10 million young people with the skills, resilience, and confidence they need to thrive in a changing world. Employers are increasingly focusing on skills, extending beyond traditional subjects, with 77% stating the need for analytical thinking, creativity, resilience, and adaptability. To meet their goals, 4-H outlined multiple keys, including partnerships with land-grant universities to provide more college credit and credentialing programs. On the heels of a warmer-than-average summer, AccuWeather long-range experts are forecasting a mild winter with above-average temperatures in three dozen states. The U.S. recently had its warmest winter season on record last December through February, and much of the country will see mild temps again. However, with a weak La Niña, some cold can push into the Midwest and Northeast.
Did you hear that? That's the sound of great careers in agriculture, one of which could be yours. With the number of different job boards that are online these days, it can be overwhelming trying to find out what best suits you as an individual in the ag industry. Hey, sift through the clutter and find your agricultural career on the job board focused on you, agcareers.com. AgCareers.com is the leading online job board for the agricultural, food, natural resources, and biotechnology industries. We are committed to fueling the next generation of talent in agriculture in an effort to feed the world. We understand and support the vast number and variety of careers possible in the industry, from welders and biotechnologists to agricultural teachers and software developers. The time to work in agriculture has never been better, with nearly 6,000 career opportunities available on agcareers.com. An opportunity for you is out there. Search for your future today on agcareers.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks mixed as investors digest a new wave of earnings reports. Verizon is the biggest decliner in the Dow today, with the shares falling over 4% after the telecom giant delivered mixed financial results and missed estimates for third quarter revenue due to a decline in wireless equipment sales. However, its earnings did top expectations. General Motors shares are surging 9% after the automaker easily beat third quarter revenue and profit expectations and raised its guidance. And Amazon is preparing to launch a new low-cost storefront to challenge Chinese rival Temu and is imposing severe price caps on what merchants can charge for their products, according to the information. Amazon is planning to ship orders to U.S. customers directly from a facility in China and will be charging sellers lower fulfillment fees for items sold through the new storefront. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Wow, you look fantastic.
I love all the sparkle.
It's your fault. You introduced me to jewelry television. I can't stop watching.
Right, the prices are amazing.
I know, there are so many different styles and the color gemstone jewelry. Are you kidding me? Gorgeous.
And did you notice JTV also has gifts for men? I got Jake an Invicta watch that he loves.
New JTV customers receive $40 off their next purchase when they shop jtv.com/radio.
Who are you texting?
I'm not. I'm shopping jtv.com.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
What happens to citizen participation when government units consolidate? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction for architectural metal roofing and siding. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Yesterday, I discussed a study on local government reform which must have confounded the liberal establishment wherever it was read because it gave the lie to that old saw that only big government can meet the needs of the people. The study to which I refer was done, I must admit, by a task force I appointed in 1973 when I was still governor of California. It was and is one of those rarities, a study done by a group of independent experts that came up with answers totally contrary to the conventional wisdom of our day. Some of these answers it found are worth repeating because they reflect feelings the average man finds difficult to express, and when he does express them, finds all too often that those in authority will not listen. For instance, the study found that the average citizen's satisfaction with government increases as the size of the governmental unit gets smaller. He also found that there's a strong desire among the people for decentralizing governmental authority and responsibility. In large central cities, there's also a significant demand for some form of neighborhood organization to affect the delivery of public goods and services. Power to the people, it seems, is more than just a radical slogan. It's also a need felt by a good many citizens. The study also finds that there's a strong preference by citizens toward maintaining the autonomy of local governments and that they want to decide the structure of their local government at the ballot box rather than through the legislature or even through appointed local officials. Our study also took a look at local government reform in socialist Sweden, where they reduced the number of local governments from 2,500 to 250. They found that these things resulted. Voter participation in local elections declined. Citizen participation in volunteer civic and service organizations declined. Local elected officials began to differ markedly from the bulk of their constituents and tended to follow the dictates of their consciences rather than the wishes of their constituents. And finally, the resistance of elected officials to spending programs decreased. It's all quite reminiscent of what's been happening here in America in recent years as government has grown bigger and more powerful. Here, too, voter participation has been declining. Fewer and fewer people are taking an interest in volunteer activities. It's easier to let the government do it. Too often our elected officials cease to represent us and instead inflict their views on us. And finally, you may have noticed, the bigger government gets, the bigger a chunk of our income it takes, and the more it spends on your behalf, whether you want it or not. A little bit of Sweden, it appears, is a little bit of knowledge. It can be a dangerous thing to our heritage of keeping government close, responsive, and responsible to the people. We've already lost a lot of that heritage. Only we, the people, can make sure that we don't lose it all. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, and it's 12:30, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to help protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, events, community institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our first guest today, I hope, because he is not called into the station yet, is Henry Rogers, Chief National Correspondent at the Daily Caller. He's a regular on the show, and I'm guessing he's on the campaign trail, but I have gotten communications from him this morning, and hopefully he'll be calling in here shortly. We're hopefully going to get a report from the campaign trail and the current state of the presidential race, the latest word on key congressional and Senate contests that'll decide the fate of our nation, and the stories of national interest impacting politics in Washington, D.C. And then at the top of the hour, we have Atascadero Police Corporal Scott Pippen and Dave Belmont. They're both members of the Atascadero Police Foundation board, and we're going to take a view. We're going to ask Scott to give us his view of crime and homelessness from a police officer's perspective, and a role and mission of newly formed charitable. They've also formed a new charitable Atascadero Police Foundation. So Scott's going to bring us up to speed on that. And Dave will provide listeners with an update, not only on why he thinks the Atascadero Police Foundation is so important, but what's going on in the homeowners market for all of us. It's very concerning as we go into 2025. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So in lieu of Henry calling in at the moment, let's talk about the presidential election. I don't know about any of you guys, and again, please call in because I'm interested in your take on the presidential election at this point. Al Smith dinner was actually funny as heck. I think Ben Shapiro on KPRL yesterday had some great clips. Up here's Henry. Give me a moment. Okay, he's ready. We'll call in. Call in. Sorry about that. Call. Call, Henry. Sorry, folks. I'm multitasking here. Give me 1 second. Anyway, folks, so hopefully, oh, there's Henry. Henry, welcome to Protecting
What
Matters.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Good. Well, you're on live now, and I take it you're on the campaign trail?
I am on and off the campaign trail. I've been dealing with some personal things, but I am in Florida and I'm covering the campaign heavily, obviously. I think there's been a lot of movement since I last appeared on your show with the Trump campaign, and I really think he's probably going to pull this thing away now. Based on what I'm seeing. Don't want to jinx it. Don't want to jump the gun, but it's looking pretty promising so far.
Well, I just wanted to get some of your comments, and I agree with you because I'm looking at the RCP battleground polls right now, and he's ahead in every state. You know, only by half a point here, half a point there. But usually, the last two election cycles, he was behind in most of these late in. So, but you know, I have to say, what was your take? The two big things from the weekend from his campaign was the Al Smith dinner, okay? I mean, he was just rocking and rolling on that, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He crushed it. And Kamala was too scared to appear. And, you know, that's kind of what you've been seeing nonstop is his, you know, willingness to do things that she is not willing to do, like get roasted on stage with a bunch of people who absolutely hate him. Letitia James, the person who's been trying to prosecute him, was behind his back the entire time, just smirking at him. I don't know how he does it. I personally would not have the patience for it. But he was there. He was there in good spirits. He was laughing. He was making what I thought were some funny jokes and just was a good sport overall. So Pretty impressive there to start off the weekend. And then I think I know where you're going next, but I'll let you lead into it.
Well, the thing at McDonald's was unbelievable. I mean, I have to say, whoever came up with that deal should get a big bonus. I mean, he was precious, really, doing that deal.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, you could just see you could see how much he truly enjoyed doing it, too. He was having so much fun. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of eating McDonald's multiple times with Donald Trump, so I know how much he loves McDonald's. But watching him cook the fries was just unbelievable. And it was, like you said, whoever came up with that idea on his campaign deserves a raise, because it's been a three-day news cycle since that happened. It's been the front page of the New York Post like 2 days in a row. And the left is melting down about the appearance. They're saying, you know, it was staged and all these crazy things. They don't really understand how logistics work.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that those two events this past weekend will probably continue to move the needle in a positive way for Trump.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Daily Caller homepage. I mean, you're covering some really, you know, terrific stories that I'm not seeing on some of the other outlets. I mean, I noticed Mark Halperin, you've got an article up on the homepage from, it's basically saying that Mark Halperin, who is the, he's basically a Democrat pollster, really, and pundit, says that Trump's going to be president on Election Day if early vote numbers hold up. What are you hearing about the early vote numbers?
You know, it's really something, because conservatives, I think, in the past have had a very skeptical view on early voting. And I think this time around, the Trump campaign and the Republican National Party is doing a good job of getting the conservative vote out early this time around, instead of on Election Day, where things can kind of really go wrong. And they believe that this is an easier way that's going to be monitored better. Their votes will be in. I think it's a new thing. But the RNC has been doing a good job with it, and the RNC has also been doing a good job, from what I hear, with election integrity stuff. I wrote a piece not too long ago and talked to them, and they said that they hired or have at least 5,000 volunteer attorneys who will be ready to roll on Election Day for any nonsense. So, that's a lot of people. And I know that they've raised, there's about over 300,000 volunteers across the country just focused on election integrity right now. So those are impressive numbers, I think. And if they stick to that, and the voters keep going early, I think that Mark Halperin is right. I mean, I don't know about election night per se, but I think that Donald Trump will secure the election.
So I guess the most important of the battleground states, have you been in Pennsylvania at all? Have you been able to get down there, up there, to see what's going on?
I have, but not for a couple months.
Okay.
It's been a couple months since I've been in Pennsylvania. I can only imagine the energy has just gotten stronger for Trump. I mean, looking at the polling, it sure has. It's crazy. I mean, some of these states that you look at are getting really tight, and you're hearing people say, "Oh, we should even start being like focusing maybe on like places like New Mexico," which is kind of insane. That would be a crazy dark horse situation. But you know, just the fact that these places are in play, I think is pretty big, and I think that you can see the fear in the coverage of the mainstream media and some of these big papers. You can sense their fear. You're no longer really reading reported articles. You're reading opinion pieces that are now called reported articles. So it's kind of it's coming all into effect.
Well, you know, interestingly, I don't know if you heard this. I just heard it this morning driving to the station. Bongino was all about it. But basically, apparently, the LA Times has not endorsed Kamala. They're not taking a position on the presidential race. That is
yep.
Huge. It, you know, that they're not willing to, you know, endorse her.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it because you're, you know, obviously you guys aren't too far away from L.A. But and I mean, California, you know, big paper in California, if not, I guess the biggest probably paper in California. This is huge because they endorsed her for attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure they endorsed her for Senate, and now they're taking they realize I think the risk with it. And they're bowing out completely, which is massive.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's in the White House today. She is not campaigning today. She is not on the campaign trail, which is crazy. Which is 14 days until the election. It's absolutely crazy to not be on the campaign trail.
What do you think that's all about?
I think they're probably having internal panic meetings right now about what to do, how to handle like in media. You know, I know she is doing two interviews today. I'm sure there'll be softballs, and I forget who they're with. But that's what they're saying the reason is for her not being on the campaign trail, which doesn't make sense. I mean, for a guy like Donald Trump who's been going nonstop for the last, I forget how long now, but he's been traveling every day. He hasn't been taking breaks. And if he does an interview, which he does almost every day, he's still doing a rally later that night. So it's, you know, and that's what's needed to win. I also think, I guess we haven't, you know, Trump's new strategy with the amount of, you know, people he's trying to reach in the younger generation by doing these podcast interviews. It's been pretty impressive. And a lot of people are giving him credit and saying that's been a reason why poll numbers are also moving. I think it's been an interesting strategy to get him to do these long form, you know, 2 to 3 hour podcasts that he sits down for, because these guys have audiences that are unheard of, millions upon millions, tens of millions of viewers, and he knows that, so he's reaching their audience. And I don't know if you saw the news, but he's going on Joe Rogan's podcast on Friday.
Mm.
That was just announced about an hour ago. Now Joe Rogan has the biggest podcast in the United States. So that's a huge, huge get. And I think it's smart for him to reach his, you know, go on Joe's podcast, reach his 14 million subscribers for the first time. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, I guess I saw some polls last night that basically, I guess the Latinos are going towards Trump. You know, they've broken for him, you know, I think. And even though he's not going to win the black African American vote. You know, it's he's probably going to get 17 to 20% of that vote, which would be really historic since like the early.
Exactly.
So that's going to be huge. Really, one other last question on election integrity. Did you see the story where the Justice Department is deploying, you know, Justice Department officials to the various polling areas and states? To monitor things. Did you see that story?
I feel like I've heard of that. It's been a busy, you know, a couple weeks here, but I feel like I heard about that. And my original thought was that's alarming. You know, I don't want those guys really anywhere near election stuff, to be honest with you. I don't trust the DOJ. It's become very political in the worst way possible, which is terrible and sad to say, but. You know, it is a very corrupt, group. And, hearing about that, I was concerned. I won't be surprised if there is some riffraff that goes on in this election. There always is. But I'm hoping that the Republicans, like they've been telling me, that are high up are actually taking this election integrity thing serious and, are going to be heavily monitoring and ready to file suits, if not already filing suits like Democrats are doing. So it's something to be cautious of, but I'm glad, like we were talking about earlier, that people are getting out and voting early.
That is good. So let me ask you a quick question. Now we'll move on to the congressional and the Senate races, the House and Senate races. Here's one of my big concerns. If Trump wins, what do you think the transition of power will look like?
Well, we were just talking about. I was just talking about this with some people affiliated with Trump, and I will say that I'm concerned about the transfer of power, just like, you know, the Democrats are saying, just like they're saying, oh, Trump, you know, that he, you know, whatever. I don't think people like, you know, Jamie Raskin and in Congress and other people, he's already said that he would like not vote to, you know, nominate Trump in the election. So I just think that there'll be a ton of Democrats who probably come out, and it's not going to be like a January 6th or whatever, but it's going to be people who are very upset, pouting, saying we don't need a dictator, Nazi, to be our president again, and all that crap that they always say. And they're probably going to try to pull some stunts. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I think it's going to, you know, 2016 was pretty bad when Trump won. I think this will be 2016 on steroids. And I'm concerned. I'm concerned that the administrative state, you know, the deep state, as it were, is going to do some things that is going to make it very difficult for him to govern early on. I mean, I think we need to really watch that. Real quickly, I mean, in order for him to be effective in another term, the Republicans have got to win the House and the Senate and have a majority there. What are you seeing happening out there? What's your sense of those races?
Well, I guess the last time we spoke, I never really thought that the Republicans would have a chance in Montana against Tester. I thought that he had that pretty safely, to be honest with you. But now this is a big one that I think most people are focused on right now. It looks like he has a chance to win that race. Tim Sheehy, his opponent, the Republican, which is pretty impressive if that happens. You have Ohio with Bernie Moreno. I mean, I think that's a possibility. Sherrod Brown has been hiding. He's been a disaster. I think he's been using Trump in his ads, which is hysterical. he won't mention Kamala Harris. Tammy Baldwin is another one. She, won't mention Kamala Harris. You know, these people are all scared. I wrote a piece the other day basically saying that, you know, Senate Democrats or people who are running for Senate that are Democrats are afraid to even mention Kamala Harris's name. They won't bring her up in debates. They won't bring her up in interviews. They won't go campaign with her when they're in their home state. It's something like I've really never seen before. So I think that she's been probably toxic on their names, at the voting poll, on the polling. And I think that's what you're seeing is, you know, this big swing for Trump because people are realizing how terrible Kamala Harris is.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty, I don't want to say it's safe, but I think they've got a really good shot at taking the Senate. I'm more concerned about the House and them losing the majority there. But assuming that they hold that majority, how about Speaker Johnson? You think he's going to be, that'll be the end of him, and they're going to find somebody else or have another circular firing squad, or has he kind of gotten his legs under him over there in the House?
It kind of sounds like he has his legs for now. Now, the House is always, you know, it's a playground, and it's like something, it's kind of always out of control. And the reason why I didn't mention the House earlier when I was talking about the Senate is because I, just like you, I don't really have much faith in Republicans winning back the House. It's possible. It's definitely possible. The Senate looks more plausible to me. So that's why I didn't really mention that earlier, but I do think, I don't know where I'm going to be on election night. I'm probably either going to be with the Trump campaign, or I was just invited today by Speaker Johnson to watch the results with him in Louisiana and his team and a rally thing afterwards. So we'll see where I'll be on election night. But, you know, for him, it's a big night. It's a big night. And, you know, his job could be on the line. Donald Trump could just be like, you know what, that's on you, Mike. You're a loser. You're the reason why we lost. But at the same time, from what I hear, they have a good relationship, and I think Trump will probably want to move forward with Mike Johnson instead of having another Republican infight at the beginning of his presidency.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold here, Henry, and we got about a 2-minute break. And when we return, we're going to talk to Henry and get his take on the stories and allegations swirling around the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. and any other stories that he'd like to talk about. So folks, stay tuned. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Henry Rogers, Chief National Correspondent of the Daily Caller. If you have any questions for Henry, call in with 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So before we get to the Doug Emhoff non-story, really, it's more of a media question for you than anything else. But are there any other stories, political stories, that you want us to be paying attention to at this point that you're tracking on that you think are important?
I mean, I think I just published a story about Cassidy Hutchinson and Liz Cheney. Now, I think that I have an interest in this because I knew Cassidy when she worked for Trump, and she was involved with this whole January 6th thing. But she's a total liar and a fraud, and everything she said publicly is coming out now under wraps, and I've obtained some private text messages that I just published on thedailycaller.com. It's a pretty juicy story, and I know that a law firm based out of D.C. just filed a lawsuit against her and Liz Cheney for their January 6th lies. So that's just something that's on the top of my mind right now, besides all of the campaign stuff that I'm usually focused on.
So this has to do with their testimony. Oh, that's right. So this was a story where Liz Cheney kind of suppressed information. Is that the story that you're talking about?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, she basically was working behind the scenes with Alyssa Farah and Cassidy Hutchinson. It could be illegal. I'm not a lawyer. But there is some legal stuff involved, but it's very interesting, and it just shows you how much of a fraudulent committee the January 6th committee was, and how much it's how weird it is to see Kamala Harris campaigning with Liz Cheney. It's just not a good look for her.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, so speaking of not a good look. And again, this is more of a media question for you. So I've been fascinated with this Doug Emhoff story from a certain perspective. I mean, he's already basically admitted that he got his nanny pregnant, and then she lost the baby, and there was some sort of lawsuit that, you know, it's not an ND where there was an NDA and he paid her $80,000. But then the other part of the story, and again, this was all broken by the Daily Mail, is that there he basically clobbered his next girlfriend at the Cannes Film Festival back in 2011 or something like that. And again, what's amazing to me, and I'm going to say, you guys covered it a little bit. It's been covered in the Daily Mail quite a bit. I hardly see anything on Fox, or obviously not in the mainstream media. So, you know, what's going on with, in your opinion, okay, and I'm going to, you know, what's going on with this story, and how come it's just not getting any legs?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think it's great that the Daily Mail was able to do some real journalism and find this information. I don't know. I think that people don't like the story. And we were just talking earlier, me and some other journalists, about why a lot of these stories aren't getting pickups at all from anyone. And I think it strictly has to do from the fact that they don't like what outlets are writing or talking about it at the time. You know, they look at some people as non-serious or conspiracy theorists, or, you know, they just don't like the facts sometimes and they don't want to cover them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of bizarre. I don't really have an answer for you as to why they're not covering it, besides the fact that I know that they all want to suck up to the Harris campaign and be buddy-buddy with them. The whole thing is strange to me. The whole story is strange for me. The relationship is strange. Everything is bizarre with them. Their family is bizarre. The vice president, Tim Walz, is a weirdo. It's really just a strange group of people that you have on that side nowadays. Well, and I think that's why you see Democrats moving kind of further right all around. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, I will say, you know, Megyn Kelly is all over this story, along with her buddy Callahan, who I think writes for the Daily Mail. But Megyn has really been covering this very heavily on her podcast. And
She's great.
She is great. And I have to say, so here, you know, here's the exit question on this one. How different would this story be covered if it was Trump or Vance who were accused of this sort of behavior?
Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, because that's exactly right. If Trump or Vance or any one of Trump's sons or anyone affiliated with Trump had something like this, it would be front page news. Everyone would be talking about it nonstop on all the cable networks. That's all you'd hear about on the radio stations. It's crazy to see the double standard, especially as someone in the media, you know, who knows some of these guys who are on the other side, you know, covering, they're in the mainstream media, and you know who they are personally, and you see them do this. It's just weird. It's bizarre.
Well, it's great how the left is holding Doug Emhoff up as being the new male, him and Tim Walz. You know, the term, yeah, that, this is way before your time, but the term that came to mind this weekend as I was listening, you know, reading about this story, was Doug Emhoff is the true metrosexual. You know, he you know, this is a term that goes back to the 80s and 90s, where men would, you know, take on this feminine patina to pick up women, yeah, right? Classic.
I know the term well. I've heard it before. I think I've heard it used to describe both of these men before. And I think you're right. You're spot on. It's a great term to use. They're both the most feminine guys I've ever seen. And it's so bizarre to see people, you know, be saying they're quote unquote alpha male figures or anything like that. I mean, watching, I'm, you know, I think you and I have shotguns together, but watching Tim Walz load a shotgun was pretty damn embarrassing, I will say, for him and for someone who claims to be a hunter.
Yes.
It's all a lie. It's all a hoax. Kamala Harris didn't work at McDonald's. You know, everyone's just creating these fantasies, weird tasks for themselves.
We going to get an October surprise, or is it just going to be the collapse of the Kamala campaign that's going to be the surprise?
I think if Trump keeps this up, it's going to be just a terrible, terrible October for Kamala. So we'll see.
All right. Well, listen, Henry, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to get you on before the end of the year so we can do a postmortem on the election. So thanks for calling in, and we'll talk soon, okay? Folks, we'll be back.
Thanks, Barry.
Thank you. And, folks, we will be back in about 8 minutes after the hour. So stay tuned for our guests.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.